Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our program. It's always good to have you. One of the things I do often on the radio show and in my podcast is take questions sent my way, some from listeners, some from readers, some from people who just know me personally. But I do get a lot of questions by email. And if you would like to send anything to me, if anything I say over the air piques your curiosity or maybe a question you just had on your own about the Bible, you can send them to questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions at Bob Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. .net. I have three questions today. Each is very different. The first two come from the same person, even though they're different. I have withheld the names. Hi, Bob. What is the difference between the Talmud and the New Testament? Isn't the New Testament just another book of interpretations? No, my friend, actually, the New Testament is not just another book of interpretations. As a matter of fact, the difference between the Talmud and the New Testament is night and day. The 27 books of the New Testament are collections of additional scripture, inspired word of God, just like the Old Testament, with the exact same authority. The New Testament offers historical chronicles of God's interaction in the world, the primary difference being that the Old Testament stands for Old Covenant, or Old Agreement between God and people, and naturally, New Covenant stands for New Agreement between God and people. Back to the Old Covenant for a moment. The Old Covenant is a covenant God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai, and this agreement was intended to change when the New Testament, the New Agreement, came along. In the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah the prophet, or God speaking through Jeremiah the prophet, I should say, says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers." And so, my friends, this covenant was meant to go into action when Messiah means anointed, and we sometimes translate it as Christos or Christ. When God's anointed, God's chosen, when this individual came, the new covenant would come with him. And that is just exactly who Jesus was, and that is just exactly who Jesus is. Now, the Talmud, on the other hand, is a Bible commentary, and not over the entire Bible. They have other commentaries such as the Midrash for the rest of the Bible, but the Talmud is a commentary on the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. The section containing these books has always been called by the Jews the Law or Torah. Does the Talmud carry the same weight of Scripture? Absolutely not. Again, it's a commentary. It would be like going to a bookstore, purchasing a Bible commentary, and then concluding that the opinion of the commentators is every bit as much the Word of God as the Bible itself. Now, I should say, the Orthodox Jews do teach that their commentary, the Talmud, is every bit as much the Word of God. So I can see the confusion here. You're saying, okay, the Jews added an extra writing to the Old Testament called the Talmud. Christians added an extra writing to the Old Testament called the New Testament. So what's the difference? The difference, my friend, is that the New Testament really is additional scripture and the Talmud is not. By the way, the Talmud was handed down orally for hundreds of years and eventually codified, put into writing hundreds of years after the time of Christ. But yes, that is their claim. They claim it's as much the Word of God. You see, Jews believed that when Moses received the written law from God, he also received an oral interpretation from God that was handed down generation after generation. Yes, that's the claim. But the truth is, that belief can only be traced historically to the time of the Babylonian exile, when Jews as slaves in Babylon lost their native language of Hebrew and began speaking Aramaic instead, a similar language, but different. This made them much more dependent on the rabbis who held on to the Hebrew language, and from the rabbis we get the Talmud. Anyway, claim or no claim, the bottom line is this: New Testament, additional scripture, new revelation from God. Talmud, commentary, which claims to also be the Word of God, an erroneous claim. In fact, the commentators of the Talmud often disagree with each other and argue with each other, but they still consider that dialectic the Word of God. Now, I think arguments and dialectics are a good thing, and I'm not saying there's no wisdom in the Talmud, but the Word of God, quite a stretch, especially with the contradictions. All right, so this same individual sent another question my way. Why is Jesus the only way and not Buddha, Islam, Hinduism, etc.? Well, my friend, first of all, these religious founders taught completely contradictory things about God. Here we go again into the concern about contradictions. God does not contradict himself. But these men, these founders of these religions, they did contradict. Buddha, who was originally a Hindu, maintained the Hindu view of God and taught that God and the universe, the impersonal universe, are one and the same. The Bible teaches a diametrically different view of God, namely that God is a sentient being who created the universe, who will hold all of us accountable for the way we live. Jesus taught that he was the only way to God. He left no room. He didn't say one of many beautiful paths to God. If one claims to follow Jesus but denies his own claim, he would make Jesus out to be a liar. And Jesus was not saying this as a mere man anyway. Jesus claimed to be God incarnate, the one and only God of the universe. It was not a mere man claiming to be the way to God. It was God himself saying, I, God, am the only way to God. Makes a lot of sense. Muhammad, on the other hand, claims to be a prophet of God, but a prophet of God had to teach truthfully, otherwise he was considered a false prophet. Well, what did Muhammad teach? Well, first of all, he taught something that was true. He taught that the Old and New Testament were the Word of God, but then he offered a supposed new revelation called the Quran, and this Quran completely contradicts the Bible in many places, in many ways, the most important being the Quran denies the divinity of Christ, which is, again, clearly taught by Christ and recorded in the very Bible Muhammad says is true. All right, moving on now to a completely different question from a different individual. Can God forgive any sin, even if one has committed a crime against the government? Yes, my friend, God will forgive any sin so long as the person asks forgiveness, turns to God, and stops doing the sin. I realize it's always a little tricky when we're dealing with a legal issue because so much more is involved, but usually when faced with this kind of question, I offer some careful caveats. Let me put it this way. If someone broke the law maybe years ago, the question always comes up, do they need to go back now and turn themselves into the authorities? Well, we have a passage of scripture that I believe does serve as a template for this kind of thing, at least. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, let the thief no longer steal. Notice he is not telling a thief to go turn himself in. This is somebody that used to practice crime, isn't anymore. He's going to church. He's a Christian. Paul's concern seemed to be that the life of thievery had ceased. That was the bottom line. But you're thinking, well, Bob, what about restitution? Well, perhaps there's a way to reimburse anonymously. The only condition, in my opinion, for actually turning yourself in is if somebody else is paying for a crime you yourself have committed. In that case, we need to pay careful attention to the commandment, you shall not bear false witness, one of the early Ten Commandments, very important commandment. And of course, the spirit of that commandment also applies. Maybe you weren't officially bearing false witness by lying in a courtroom, but if somebody else is in jail for a crime you committed, you need to come clean. You need to come forward. Your silence itself is bearing false witness. Even in that case, though, you are still forgiven as far as Jesus is concerned, inasmuch as he paid for your sins on the cross. There are no hierarchies for sins. You will still go to heaven, but you need to make things right on this earth. Well, that's our show for today. Always feel free to send your questions my way. Once again, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net.